When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
It'll be a 3-2, and Clemens deals. Struck him out swinging. Number 4,000. Roger Clemens becomes the third pitcher in the history of Major League Baseball to record 4,000 strikeouts.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Keith McPherson on The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Do it. 87-7-33-7-66-66. You know what I like to say? Run through the tape. It's been a great week. A great week for New York City. A great week for WFAN. I had a good time. The weather was all right. It's getting better. Let's run through the tape tonight. Call me up if you want to talk sports. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. Spoiler alert, we're going to talk all around the sports. The Yankees win. Man, I don't care. Win ugly. And we're going to talk about how I was spiraling tonight and how the Yankee universe was spiraling tonight. And Yankees Twitter is the most toxic Twitter fan base in the world. But winning cures all. And, man, I was rooting for the Make It Happen Mets, LGYM, down there at Trashacana Field. Let's start with the Mets first. Brett Beatty was balling. You know, I'm a gambling man, and I was on Twitter like, imagine if you put $10, $20, $50 on Brett Beatty to homer twice tonight. Nobody had that ticket. But I see you, young man. I see you with the glove. I see you with the bat. I see guys making it happen for the Mets, especially low in the lineup. I did have a couple parlays with Tyrone Taylor. You better call Tyrone. This guy can play wherever you put him in the outfield. This guy is hitting. This guy is contributing. What a pleasant surprise. Unfortunately, you know, the Mets come out in that second inning, and they say three-run homers win ball game, Sweeney Murdy's line. But it's tough to win the ball game with an early three-run homer, and then it gets matched. I mean, the Rays end up having 13 hits tonight. And early on in the game, it wasn't like they were just hitting homers. I mean, Randy Arozarena got a hold of one, but it was just small ball, single, sac fly, single. Tough. You know, I come in here and I'm talking to Paulie, and we're just laughing about baseball in general. You know, all of the hype around the Yankees. And I mean, I get it. Like, coming into the season, they get Juan Soto. They're 21-13. You'll take it. They're a good team. But, you know, the Yankee fans right now are not content with the way that this team goes scoreless. But, you know, the Mets starting off the season 0-5, but leveling out to be a 500 team. For weeks now, they've just been hanging around 500. They're 16-16. And in a night like tonight, where the Yankees go through so many scoreless innings, I'm losing my mind. I'm trying to be a good dad, trying to be a good husband, but I got the TV on and I just can't get through the game because I'm like, it doesn't make any sense how these guys go over. And then I'm keeping my eye on the Mets and I'm like, the Mets come out and score three. They put crooked numbers up in the second inning, score a bunch of runs in the fifth inning. I'm like, at least they're figuring it out. They're putting runs on the board. But the way baseball is, it's unpredictable. You can't, it's night to night. You can't put your finger on it. You don't know what's in that. You could score eight runs and lose. 877-337-6666. You can even have a late comeback in the ninth, fall just short. So, yeah, tip my cap to Brett Beatty. Stay tuned for my Casamigos big shot of the night. Jose Quintana goes 2 2/3 innings. This is a guy you signed, and I mean, I don't know, coming out of St. Louis. I thought he was going to be pretty solid. I thought he was a, you know, top of the rotation guy, but I think there's some Mets fans that are probably ready to move off him. It's early. But he gave up 10 hits, 8 earned runs. Like, talk about just not having it in that second inning and then just not being able to get out of the third inning. It's tough to watch, especially when you go up 3-0 and you're thinking you're in the driver's seat a little bit, a pleasant surprise with Brett Beatty. And, you know, the Tampa Bay Rays debut their new City Connect uniforms and a whopping 19,000 fans show up to Trashacana Field. That dump of a ballpark, Brett Beatty's home run. Ramirez is in right field. It gets lost in the lights. It ends up in the seats. And, you know, all in all, the Tampa Bay Rays aren't a good team. They're 15-18. They're fourth in the AL East. They're struggling a bit this year, but they're able to score 10 runs tonight. And, you know, 9 of those runs were scored by the fourth inning. And they get a little bit of an insurance run, and they win the game. But, you know, Quintana, that's just not a good enough start. It's not a good enough performance. And, I mean, the Mets bullpen does what they can, but it is what it is. 877-337-6666. Again, you know, getting contributions from guys in the bottom of the order. You know, Pete Alonso had a knock. Lindor, good to see Lindor keeping it going, keeping it rolling, getting his average back up. Alonso's average is .220. It seems like, you know, he's got to figure it out a little bit. Marte goes 0-for. Nimmo, 3 Ks at the top of the lineup. It's not great, but all in all, like I said, the Mets, I feel like they can compete. I feel like they're there. But in this early on first month of the season, like, they're a .500 ball club. They go up a couple games, they go back down, and what I had said going into this Tampa series, because Tampa's not that great, coming off of the walk-off win, you would hope that they could string together back-to-back wins and maybe sweep the Rays and get a little bit of a streak going here. You're going to keep teeter-tottering around .500 if you can't build a W3, W4, build some type of winning streak. But LGYM. We're rooting for you, Mets fans. Take the next couple games down there in St. Pete. They don't even play in Tampa, and knock off the Rays. Now, to the Yankees, bro, Michael Kay set it up perfectly. I left when he started talking going into the bottom of the ninth, but maybe you heard exactly what he said. He talked about, in the history of the Yankees, only X amount of times had the New York Yankees lost a game being shut out 1-0, where the run that was scored was a run that was walked in. And I heard that. I clicked the TV off. I was like, I got to go to work. I'm out of here. So I didn't get to watch the end of the game, but I got to hear the lovely Susan Waldman and my guy Shaq on the call. And it was great. It was everything. You know why it was everything? And we don't have to talk about Gleyber Torres. We don't have to talk about the ground in the double plays. I know we are. We don't have to talk about, is Judge healthy? Judge is in center field running down fly balls at the warning track. He's healthy. He's just not all the way right. Early season slump, batting .200. But you know why it was everything? Because with their backs against the wall, with potentially being shut out again for the 6th time this season, losing back-to-back games, on a Friday night in the Boogie Down Bronx with 37, almost 38,000 fans in attendance that were waiting. I'm getting texts and tweets from people at the stadium about, bro, we can't take it, right? The fans are ready to boo them off the field. The reason why it was everything was because you don't need to hit home runs to win. You manufacture runs to win. And with their backs against the wall, they played baseball. And I heard Rizzo say it in the post game, we go as Judgey goes. Those guys all believe in Aaron Judge. The Yankee universe is fighting right now. The greatest rivalry in baseball is Yankee fans versus other Yankee fans. Half the Yankee fans think Judge is cooked, Judge is hurt, something's up with Judge, he's not right, he's never going to get right. The other half of Yankee fans love Aaron Judge, think he's amazing, think he's just in a little bit of a slump right now, and this too shall pass. 877-337-6666. What I'll say about Judge is, even though he struggled, you know, that's the second time he's come up big in a game late. You know, it gave me flashbacks to Toronto when we're like, yeah, Judge isn't right. But with the game on the line, he hit that ball down the third baseline in Toronto to win the game. Well, tonight, bottom of the ninth, he singles, it gets through, and that starts the crowd up, right? That starts the belief up again. That starts the Yankees knowing, hey, all we got to do is scratch one across to tie, two across to win, and get our first walk-off win. So, Judge single, and then you hear him barking. A fan favorite. This guy goes from enemy of the state, one of the most hated, to a fan favorite. So much so, this guy goes on paternity leave, and Yankee fans are fighting over that too. Oh, come on, we need Verdugo back. Well, anybody that's been on paternity leave, obviously you guys know I did. Like, man, that's got nothing to do. Like, let that man do what he did. He had to do what he had to do. He's back now. Of course, they put him right back now in that cleanup spot. And, man, I love to hear the call as he's facing a guy throwing 98. You know, the Tigers are no slouch right now either. I know a lot of us look at the Detroit Tigers like there's some bums. Yeah, they're fourth place in the AL Central, but they're 18-14. And he's facing Jason Foley. Jason Foley's out there throwing 98-mile-an-hour sliders, and like he's looking at the field, and he's a ball player. He lays down a bunt. I still haven't seen it. I heard the call. Everybody was surprised. He lays down a bunt. Well done. All the talk about bunting, going back to this offseason where Hal Steinbrenner talks about conversations with Aaron Boone about how they need to bunt more. I don't know if that was a call bunt. I think he just did it. And the Yankees' win probability goes from 32% to 50%. Giancarlo Stanton, who has been struggling as of late, doubles. Judge is motoring. He scores, and then it's inevitable. Anthony Rizzo comes up with a little knock that gets past the second baseman. 2-1, the Yankees win, and you just have a release of good grief, man. Thank you. Got it. Done. That would have been tough. So call me up. We'll talk all about it. Love to see mini camps starting for the rookies. Love to see football coming right back. I saw these young Jets rookies and their numbers, and I'm like, man, football is all year round.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on and hit in the air. The deep left. That ball is high. It is far. It is good. I don't believe it. Once again, deja vu. A two-out, game-tying two-run home run by Scott Brosius. Probably the most unbelievable feat in World Series history.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Yeah, man. Just win. Stack wins. We understand it's early. It's May now. Cinco de Mayo weekend. May the 4th be with you. The Yankees get a win tonight, a walk-off win tonight. Made it worth it for all the fans that made the trip to the stadium on a Friday night that waited some 2+ hours to get the win. And you know what? It sets the stage for tomorrow. Garrett Cole Jedi Bobblehead Day. 877-337-6666. Inside the 11 o'clock hour on The Fan Friday night. Keith McPherson talking to you. Call me up. And coming up after our next break, the Casamigos big shot of the night. You know Josh is in the Bronx. First up on The Fan.
Keith. Hey. I'm pumped up now. I can't wait until the horses come back. I'm speaking about the Martian. I'm speaking about Garrett Cole. You know, you got two Garrett Cole bobblehead days. I mean, the season so far.
Yeah, I mean, this is the first one without Garrett Cole. When's the second one?
I think it's July 19th or something.
Cool, so he'll be back for that. Maybe he'll be lined up to pitch that day.
I mean,
they're not going to boo him on his bobblehead day, though. It'll be cool. It'll be perfectly fine.
I mean, just think about it. Like you said, tomorrow's the 4th. In 8 weeks, it's going to be 4th of July, man. I know I'm going way ahead of my... I know. Stay low until you come up, man. But I'm telling you, Keith, man, bring the energy. Thank you for taking my call, sir. Have a great show.
I got you. Got to bring the energy. Because as I'm putting my notes together about this Yankees team, most of my notes are WTF. And then, you know, talking to people online, it's just Yankee fans' toxicity and fighting each other. And it's great because there's so many Yankee fans. Half believe, half don't. You can't even be sarcastic. I put out a tweet where I said the Yankees go so many innings without scoring, but it's early, it's fine. All in, World Series team with Juan Soto. And people are like, are you kidding me? Yeah, I'm literally kidding you. It's sarcasm. Like, nobody wins the World Series May 3rd. I would like them to develop better habits. We're now questioning James Rawson after we already crowned him as the best Yankee hitting coach we've ever had. Three series in, we're like, we found the guy. Let's hear what these Yankee fans got to say. Chris is in Walwick, New Jersey. Chris, you got it.
Keith, how you doing today, all right?
Good, because we won. If we didn't win, I would have been trashing the Yanks.
Well, first of all, happy belated birthday, Gia.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it.
And I was over in Section 39, Section 203, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, same
difference.
I'm an
old police preacher.
Know what you mean.
So, I was in 203 having a great time tonight, and we didn't lose hope. We know we had 27 outs.
Yes, sir.
And that's what made it great.
Yes, sir. Good. Good. Nobody left either.
No, but very few people left. But you know what? They were the people like the part-timers, you know?
Yeah. Let those people beat traffic. The 203, Section 39, actual creatures got no rush, nowhere to go. They're out there on River Ave partying right now.
There you go. I'm partying in my car on the way home.
Yeah.
God bless you, Keith.
God bless you as well. Get home safe. Thanks for the call, Chris. Yeah, you could hear it. Shout to Susan Wallman because I heard her take a jab at the Tigers in Comerica Park. As I'm driving in listening to the call, she talks about Foley on the mound. They had to huddle up on the mound, have a mound visit or whatnot. And Susan's like, yeah, I guarantee you it doesn't get this loud at Comerica Park ever. Not even for Miguel Cabrera's 5,000th hit. I don't know what else. They used to be good. You guys remember 2012. But, you know, Yankee fans showing up on a Friday and staying there all the way to the end. I know what it feels like to sit in there. Just three up, three down, ground into double play, can't get anything going. You want to yell, you want to scream, and it just keeps going and going. And you wait and you wait and you wait because you want to hear Frank. And you want to hear John, and you want to sing New York, New York, and exit the ballpark happy, and you got that tonight. It's worth the wait. I'm glad I didn't see anyone doing the wave. I'm glad that the stadium didn't empty out because, you know, you can get frustrated. Coming off the series with the Orioles, and that's another thing. Anybody that tells you, oh, it's early, don't worry about that series with the Orioles, please, bro, please. It's not early. But at least they got off the mat today, and they started this homestand right. Lou is in Astoria, back on the Fan. Go for it, Lou.
Keith, how are you?
I'm all right.
Yeah, you were saying that. Listen, it's only the beginning of the season. It's April. You don't win the you know.
It's May now.
And, you know, but I'm saying, let me say something. The Knicks last night, okay? They were up by 22 points, okay? In the first quarter. And it's, and everybody, you and my son were saying, Dad, it's the first quarter. You don't win the game in the first quarter. But yeah. I said, son, at the end of the game, the 76ers got tired trying to get back into the game because it was, they were that much behind. And then at the fourth quarter, they were done. They were cooked. You know? Sometimes, really. You know, and that's the first time that I ever said that because I agree with my son. Most of the time in basketball, you don't win the game. I mean,
you can't win or lose the game in the first quarter in the NBA.
Yeah, but you know what? But 76ers had to really waste a lot of energy trying to get back into that game, and that really had to do a lot to do at the end. Anyway, on the Yankees, I'm very happy with the win today, but I'm very concerned the way things are going. Okay, I mean, it just really is killing me that this team right now. I mean. It's not doing what it's supposed to be doing, okay? But, you know, at the end, like I said, we won the game. I'm very happy about it. But it's really confusing to me that I have to go through all this. Today, I said to myself, you know, if this continues to go on, I've got confidence. I mean, Keith, how about you? It's just me or what?
You're not confident that they can win the World Series, or you're not confident that they could win, or you're not? What do you mean you're not confident? You're not confident they're a good team?
I just don't trust them anymore. We still are right there. We're winning games.
This is what it is, Lou. It's extremely frustrating for today's Yankee fan to go from the 82-80 season last year and even the 2022 season where we saw them strike out a bunch of times in the postseason, not be able to hit. It's extremely frustrating for today's Yankee fan to look at this team with Juan Soto, who went 0-4 today. It can happen.
Yeah, that's okay. Because,
you know, listen, follow me. It's extremely frustrating to see them still doing the same things they've been doing with these guys for years, grounding into double plays, not manufacturing runs, having multiple scoreless innings back to back to back to back. It's like it's contagious. It carries through series. It's like what happened in Milwaukee, Wisconsin last weekend. I don't know. It's baseball, Susan. Nobody can predict baseball. That's baseball for you. You can't figure it out. But the Yankees, this is part of their DNA. This is part of what they do. And that is concerning. That so many years now, we've seen different configurations of the lineup just go cold.
Exactly. But let me ask you something. The pitching. I know that at Stroman, Rodon, and only Luis Gil had stuff that I trust.
Clark Schmidt a little bit.
Blind or something. I mean, Stroman is really, he's hanging in there.
I'm not mad at Stroman. I understand he walks guys, and I saw the stat today, 5 walks today. That's the 5th consecutive game with 5 walks. But the guy is a pitcher, and you know how he pitches. He's pitching off the plate, but, like, he's getting no run support.
Yeah, but he's way off the plate, Keith. He's not even close. He's not a great matter. He's way.
That's how he pitches. And you know what? He manipulates the zone, and he's getting those calls. I think I was watching the Mark Canna at bat. I'm like, the first pitch he threw to Mark Canna, that's not a strike.
Yeah, he looked like a.
But whatever. What I'm saying is, I can't be mad at Marcus Stroman when he's getting no run support behind him. In a lot of the games that he's pitched, it's like, damn, they can't score.
Yeah, that's true. It's like, it reminds me of Jordan Montgomery. They're not scoring any runs on him. You're right about that. But I'm concerned. I'm concerned right now. Right now, I don't trust that many guys. I hope that Cole gets back. But Luis Gil is the one that got the good stuff. I don't trust anybody else. You take care. And how's the family? Good?
Great. I was with him tonight. I didn't go to the game to be a family man. Thanks for the call, Lou. And for a while, I was watching the game like I made the right move. I made the right decision not going to the game because this sucks. But then with the walk-off, I'm like, that would have been fun. But whatever. Because you know what? I wouldn't have been able to stay in there to watch the walk-off because I would have been 1 foot out the door to come to WFAN. I made the right decision anyway. I got the win. I got the result that I wanted. You know, 877-337-6666. So, yeah, man, like, I can't even be mad at Stro. Do-rag Stro. Shout out to Stro. I don't know if you guys read the whole article from Chris Kirshner talking about Alex Verdugo wearing the... he asked... I hope Stro gave him a clean do-rag that, like, was never worn. But Verdugo is the type of guy, he asked Stroman if he could wear a do-rag with him the first time he did it. Or it wasn't the first time he did it, because it was a night game. The first time he did it, I think, was opening day. But, you know, reading that article, that meant a lot to Stroman because he said he never had a teammate do that. And Alex Verdugo is obviously a different type of cat. But, you know, you see Do-Rag Stro with the Nueva York Silky on his head. And I think everybody saw that meme, the George Steinbrenner meme. Oh, George Steinbrenner's rolling in his grave watching the Yankees have a pitcher with a do-rag on the mound. And I think Verdugo played into that. Like, let me make it two of us and not just you out there. Check that article out on The Athletic about Verdugo and how he's fitting in the clubhouse and how he's having the most fun in his career with this group of guys. I'll go find some excerpts from it through the night, because this is definitely a night where we build up Alex Verdugo. Man, this guy has been hot in his last 20 games. Like, this guy is now batting cleanup. He's been the difference. 877-337-6666. Man, just win. You're too good to lose a game at home. Like, you're too good. You have too much talent, too high of a payroll too high of expectations, too high of attendance in your ballpark to lose that game 1-0 from a walked-in run. And they didn't. So it's all good. John is in New Jersey. John, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, how's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. I just feel like I know they're not hitting like we want them to, but and it's early, but we're stacking wins. It's gonna matter at the end of the season. And I don't think that this team last year wins this game.
No.
You got Verdugo dropping bunts down like Jake Taylor in Major League. It's doing different things that this team never did last year, setting guys up to win, putting us in position. Yeah, it was the ninth inning, but guess what? It still happened.
Last year would have been
we get the W.
It would have been
year, it doesn't happen.
It would have been Billy McKinney, Kyle Higashioka, and Volpe makes the last out. They all strike out.
They all strike out. Yeah, I mean, Stanton would have struck out, and Rizzo doesn't hit the ball. He doesn't even touch it if he's even there at all. It's just a different team this year. I know they're not doing what we want them to.
They're doing enough, though. They're doing enough without Gerrit Cole. They're doing enough without LeMahieu.
At some point.
Without Dominguez. They're doing enough. They have 21 wins. When you look at the standings in Major League Baseball, as we will do tonight and go across the scores, there's only one team in baseball with more wins than them. I understand both sides of Yankee fandom. You wake up every day, you feel differently depending on what they do in the game. But they salvaged tonight. They salvaged, getting that walk-off win tonight to make you feel better about, all of the scoreless innings, the ground into double plays. That's another thing, too. They just keep rolling out the stats with these guys. Did you see that, John? The Yankees they're leading the league, and they're about to lap the league with how many ground into double plays they have.
And I know that's kind of still like last year. We'd like to get rid of that part.
40 but, double plays. Like, it's so annoying. Like, you get a guy on and you're immediately erasing him. LOB.
I know, but you look at it like, okay, so Soto went 0-for-4. That isn't going to happen very often. Judge isn't hitting. We don't have Gerrit Cole. Things aren't going great. Still get the W.
Yeah.
So when everything kind of turns and starts working again, I feel like sky's the limit.
It is. Thanks for the call, John, and thanks for the positivity and the positive energy. I love the Yankees. I love watching the games. I love the stadium. I love the history. I love the current team. And that's why you get frustrated, because you know they're better than this. You know these guys. It was good to see Volpe get a knock. Keep it going, bro. Had the double the other day, a knock. Like, turn the tide. It's early. Now you've got more games, way more games leading off than you had batting in the second half of the lineup. That's your spot. I don't expect them to move you. When DJ comes back, evolve, continue to grow, fight through it. Juan Soto is hilarious, bro. He thought he had ball 4, and he starts walking halfway to first base. Like, come on back, Juan. You try to show up the pitcher. Like, those are the times where it backfires on you. When the ump show comes out, and they're like, nope, come on back to the batter's box. Judge, it is what it is. And I said this about Judge. I mean, a few weeks ago, I said, he doesn't look like himself. I don't know what it is. He's got to be hurt. But if you notice, in the last 2 weeks, I've been off that, because the guy's playing center field, left field. And if you saw him track down that ball today, man, he was hightailing it. That doesn't look like a guy with a toe issue. That doesn't look like a guy with an oblique issue. That doesn't look like a guy physically with any kind of issues. So I'm not exactly sure what it is besides an early season slump. But you know what? He showed it. He showed up when we needed him to. Winning time. Clutch. The captain. 877-337-6666. Respect to Stanton as well. He hasn't been in as hot of a streak as he started off. But I always say with him, they're taking him out of the lineup. He's strictly only a DH. He doesn't play the field. They're taking him out of the lineup to give Judge the half rest day. That cools him off. But he came up big late in the game. Rizzo's been solid. And Gleyber Torres should have been traded 3 weeks ago. Or 3 years ago. Excuse me. 3 years ago I was trying to trade Gleyber Torres. Ambrose in Westwood, New Jersey, back on the Fan. What's up, bro?
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm all right. Going to talk about Good. The Yanks and the Mets and the Giants and the Jets and the Knicks. And we never have right to. We never have to talk about the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, they're. I remember going to the Continental when I was growing up.
Brendan Byrne Arena, yeah. Right. Yeah, Izod
that's
Center.
Wild. Yeah, but before that was Continental Airlines. I remember that.
Ambrose, I know.
I know. But, you know, on a stand note, you know, he's my guy. Like I said last time, I'm going to defend him. You can kind of, he's one of the few guys I feel like you can actually tell when he's hot. Even if he's like, just visiting, like he's so dumb. I love how he doesn't even move in the box. That consistency. But honestly, what I really wanted to talk about, what are the best three games you've seen in person? It could be any sport.
I don't know. Yankee games, or we're talking about, you said any sport?
Anything. So so I'll give you my three so you have an idea.
Okay.
2017 ALCS game four. Game four. That was when we were down 2-1 to Houston, and we were down 4-0 in the game. Gary Sanchez had a big game. That was a good game. And then Giants setting the sack record against the Eagles, and Giants at the Vikings years ago. That's mine.
I got to think about it. I can give you one, and maybe through the rest of the night I'll put the rest out there. I always talk about how, you know, I was at the 2006 NCAA March Madness tournament, and I saw UConn, who I think was a 1 seed, lose to George Mason, who I think was an 11 seed, and that was a Cinderella story, and I happened to be in the building for that. Thanks for the call, Ambrose. Baseball-wise, Yankee-wise, it's got to be postseason. I was never up here young for the glory days. I was just watching TV. Nobody took me to the ballpark. I was a kid. As a grown man, 2019, I always go back to 2019. I think it was ALDS Game 2 when Didi Gregorius hit that grand slam to the second deck in right field. At the time, I was affiliated with Bronx Pinstripes, and they had like 200 seats in that section. And I got out there that day. Shout out to my guy Batista early. Like, that was a game. That was a day game. But we got out to the stadium early. I remember running into Mike Ford on River Ave, and we sauced that whole day into the night. I feel like I was drinking at Yankee Stadium from like 10 a.m., 11 a.m. to like midnight. And when Didi Gregorius hit that grand slam, I blacked out, and I don't remember the rest. 877-337-6666. It's Friday night. Drink one for me. I'm dead sober. Keith McPherson on the fan. Coming up, my Casamigos big shot of the night. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
In back of short, Jeter on the run, makes a one-handed running catch, and dives into the photographer's area. Oh, what a play by Jeter. You can't believe it.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Welcome.
The Casamigos Big Shot of the Night is brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos Tequila is brought to you by those who drink it. Tonight's Casamigos Big Shot of the Night has to go to the guy that walked off the game and won it for your New York Yankees. Nobody beats the Riz. Anthony Rizzo. Appreciate you, bruh. Needed that one. Needed it. The Yankees survive what could have been a disastrous loss on a Friday night. And you obviously tip your cap to Giancarlo Stanton as well, who doubled to tie the game. And you also got a point to Alex Verdugo laying down that bunt and the captain, Aaron Judge, getting it all started. 877-337-6666. Honorable mention to the young boy, Brett Beatty, balling out there, hitting two homers. And he's been doing it with the glove and not for nothing. If you're looking at Brett Beatty, he's looking the part. If he can consistently hit and keep consistently bringing his glove, this is a kid that, you know, in the second year when you're supposed to be getting a look at the baby Mets and trying to figure out who and what they are without Francisco Alvarez, like, this guy is looking the part, in my humble opinion. So honorable mention to Brett Beatty. If the Mets won, maybe he would have won it. I like to award the Casamigos big shot of the night to somebody who won from a New York team, and the Yankees won. Thank God. Back to the question that Ambrose asked me about my three. I've been to so many games, I honestly forget. I'm blessed. Like I always tell y'all, I grew up never going to games. My uncle was the only one that took me to two games. That UConn game where they lost to George Mason, which is an all-timer. I also saw Allen Iverson lose in the Eastern Conference Finals to the Pistons in like 2004. I barely remember that. I just remember being at the top of the First Union Center where some of you guys were last night, which is now the Wells Fargo Center. So one, I will say for basketball, definitely the March Madness game, Cinderella, George Mason beating UConn, which was even more special because it was in D.C. And George Mason is not far from D.C. And I always remember seeing the arena clear out and all the UConn fans clear out. And then all of a sudden it just was like green and yellow left and all their fans were celebrating. So basketball, it's that one. And during the break, I was thinking, like, what's the best football game I've ever been to? I've been to a bunch of random nonsense Jets games, not because the Jets are nonsense, just because they're meaningless. Like I've seen the Jets lose to the Dolphins, the Patriots. I've seen the Jets lose to like four different teams in MetLife Stadium. The only Giants game, I think the first Giants game I went to, I saw Peyton Manning play for the Colts very early on in his career. I don't really remember that. My Pop Warner football coach, shout out to Mr. Williamson and them. They took us all to Giants Stadium back when it was Giants Stadium. But the two best games I could come up with, maybe three. I was there for the Odell Beckham Jr. catch. Because unfortunately, I was a kid and nobody told me not to root for Jerry Jones Club. So I grew up a Dallas Cowboys fan. And I'm starting to give that up. But I was there for the Odell Beckham Jr. one-handed catch, Sunday Night Football. Dez Bryant had the game-winning catch. The most fun I had was this past year, 40-0 blowout in the rain on Sunday Night Football. That was fun. Like, the tailgate was so much fun. I love that they're giving us these Dallas New York games early on in the season and not doing them in the cold because I've done that. I've gone to MetLife and froze my ass off in the cold for years going to see the Cowboys when they come there. But the best football game I actually ever been to, I was just looking it up. In 2018, I went down to Atlanta, which also why I love Atlanta. Atlanta is just a great city and, I mean, it costs nothing. You could go into, and this is when I was popped. This is when I was unemployed. I quit my job at Roc Nation in the summer of 2018. I actually was in Atlanta looking for work because there's a lot of television opportunities and music opportunities down there for young brothers like myself. So I was down there and I wanted to see a Falcons game. And I go see the Cincinnati Bengals versus the Atlanta Falcons. $40 gets you plenty of beer and food in there. And they have this whole tailgate area outside. You can get a bunch of free swag and merch. It was awesome. Brand new stadium, one of the best stadiums in the NFL. But I got to go see Andy Dalton, Tyler Boyd, and AJ Green, John Ross. I got to see them go knock off Matt Ryan and Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones. The Cincinnati Bengals on September 30th, 2018, came back to beat the Falcons, 37-36, and it was a ridiculous scene. And I loved it because I think the last time I had went to Jerry World was 2016, and I saw the Falcons defeat Brandon Whedon and the Cowboys, and damn, the Falcon fans were so obnoxious. It's like everybody from Atlanta came to Dallas. They were so obnoxious. I just remember getting faded. I know I'm talking a lot about how I used to drink a lot. It's the truth. I can't drink like that anymore. One, I'm too old. The math doesn't math. I can't tolerate the alcohol. Two, I'm a whole dad now. I'm somebody's dad. I can't be faded like that. But back in the day, if I'm going to these games, I'm saucing. I used to sneak in the little airplane bottles. And I remember watching Brandon Whedon and those guys lose to the Falcons. I just drowned myself in my sorrows. But yeah, that's it. Those are the best games I've been to. Yankees-wise, I think it was game two of the ALDS against the Twins when Didi Gregorius hit that homer. March Madness basketball, I saw George Mason beat UConn in 2006. Football-wise, 2018, that Cincinnati Bengals regular season comeback game against the Falcons was just the most fun, but I've been to a bunch of Giants-Cowboys games, and obviously the 40-0 blowout that we just had was great, and the Odell Beckham Jr. catch night. And also with the Brooklyn Nets, I was at the 2021 NBA semis second round when KD
in game five went off for 49 points. It was a ridiculous performance, but nobody talks about it. All they ever talk about is KD's foot being on the line and Giannis and the Bucks beating the Nets in game seven and going on to win the NBA Finals. 877-337-6666. Now that we've opened it up to all sports conversations, man, I definitely want to look ahead to Knicks Pacers. There's just so many storylines. I saw Mark Jackson, former Pacer, former Knick, already come out and proclaim that the Pacers are going to win the series. I'm like, here we go again. Here we go again. In the second round, after the Knicks do what they did, Knicks in six should have been Knicks in five, gentlemen sweep. Everybody said, oh, well, they got the worst luck. They drew the MVP and the seven seed. That's not a real seven seed. What are they going to do? They're going to lose to the Sixers. Ain't wrong. Now they're being underestimated again with this Pacers team. Like, come on, bro. What are we talking about? The Pacers, the Indiana Pacers. Now, I'm going to put respect on their names because, like, they have some players that I do respect and we'll go through them. But we're talking about an Indiana Pacers team. What, because they made it to the in-season tournament? They got it like that? They're not like that. The Pacers just celebrated their first playoff series win in over a decade. So, like, similar to the Knicks not, you know, being in it like this, the Pacers and their fans, they're back there figuring it out. I think it's any man's game and series. And I honestly think the Knicks are the better team. So if I had to guess, I think this one's going seven in the second round. I'm going to say Knicks in seven. If you're on the phone ready to talk about the Yankees, we're going to do that. I even see some Jets calls. We're going to do that. Keep McPherson on the fan. Let's get back to you. Kenny's in Manhattan. Kenny, you got it.
Keith, what's the beat?
You know, Friday night, you know, passing the time.
Listen, Keith, what are we going to do about Bogey? He's out. Somebody's got to get dusted off that bench.
Yeah.
And we got to put him in. I mean, we need some players. I mean, they up and down.
Is Bogdanovich ruled out for the whole series? Oh, man.
In Indiana, they up and down. You know, we can't keep up with that. We need somebody that, you know, we need some reinforcements. We can't just have somebody down.
Thibodeau doesn't work like that. He's going to run his guys that he trusts and that he's used to.
You know who I'll put in? I'll put in Alec Burks. That's who I would put in.
Maybe, but what if Burks isn't effective? What if he doesn't do anything? He's a veteran, yeah. Yeah,
look what happened to Hurd. Buddy Hurd. No, you know, they dusted him off and he went rapid.
Yeah, I think that you will see a couple more guys off the bench just because the Pacers deploy a lot of guys. But you got to feel the series out. We'll see Monday night. I'm pumped. Monday night, I got another 5-hour KM to AM during the game. We'll see what that first game looks like. But like, I just think that they're gonna run the guys that they run. Like they're gonna run seven guys, and your bench is short. It is what it is.
Indiana plays a different brand of ball. They're up and down. You know, they led the league in scoring, so
yeah.
It's not going to be a slow pace. So you're going to need some. They got to dust somebody off that bench and bring them in the Knicks are in good condition and everything, but sooner or later, Keith.
Precious Achiuwa. Get Precious Achiuwa involved. But it's like you're talking about scoring. Where's the scoring coming from the bench? Like, that's why I said it sucks that Bojan Bogdanovic is ruled out for the year. It's just bad luck. You don't have Randle. You don't have him. That's potential points.
Yeah.
It's just like,
yeah.
I don't know. In game three.
Let's test them all. Let's test those Burks.
I guess you can give him a shot. He's a veteran. Thanks for the call, Kenny. In game three, when Embiid was trying to Mortal Kombat his way to victory, you did see the Knicks just go to the bench and put some guys out there just because it was garbage time, the game was over or whatever. But I don't know. I think they're going to stick with their rotation and who they have and try and play their game and not so much look at, like, all right, well, we got to do what they do. No, you're a well-conditioned team. You play the game that you've been playing, and you see how it matches up, man. Obi Toppin's revenge series, I doubt it. Pascal Siakam versus OG Anunoby, old friends. I think that's going to be an interesting match. Tyrese Halliburton, who Wally Szczerbiak called out, said, you're not an all-star, you're not that good. And then, of course, he becomes an all-star and becomes a lot better. And obviously, we know Wally is on the MSG broadcast. I think those broadcasts are done now. I think I was listening to Alan Hahn say that they're done with those in the second round. Everything is national. But still, Wally Szczerbiak is going to be in the building. And you know Tyrese Haliburton hasn't forgotten about that. So, yeah, in that game that the Sixers won, you did see Precious Achiuwa. You saw Obi Toppin's brother, Lil Bro, get off the bench. You saw them put Miles McBride, obviously, in the game. Mitchell Robinson, obviously, in the game. But they're not. This is the second round of playoffs, bro. Who do you guys want in there? Without Bojan Bogdanovic, there's nobody. Dwayne Washington Jr., they're going to play the guys that your head coach plays and trusts. And it just is what it is. Maybe you see Alex Burks. I don't think you're going to see Shake Milton. You're going to trust the guys that you've seen. And it is what it is. They got to be conditioned. They got to play their style of play. You don't have a deep bench. You're hurt. You're missing a guy you traded for, and you're missing an all-star starter. 877-337-6666. Back to the Yankees conversation a little bit. You know, with this Yankees team, I don't know what it is, bro. Like what I was saying before, if you were listening, I was saying what's frustrating for the modern-day Yankee fan, for the Yankee fan in this era, it's like, yo, we've seen this before. It's not just Josh Donaldson's fault. It's not just Aaron Hicks's fault. It's not just Joey Gallo's fault. You know, it's like, damn, it doesn't matter if Juan Soto's in the lineup, man, going 0-for for consecutive innings, not being able to manufacture a run just seems to be consistent. Ryan is in Hazlitt next up on the Fan. What's up, Ryan?
What's up, my Duke? How you doing tonight?
You know, hosting, talking the talk.
Yeah, you were talking about getting faded, and I was just thinking about times in Virginia. And when you were talking about your favorite games, I was at the A-Rod game when he hit the home run off of Nathan, and that was probably the most excited I've ever been as a Yankee fan sometimes.
Yeah, you know what's funny, Ryan? Yeah. I was straight edge in high school. I didn't drink any alcohol. And I took my visit to JMU in the winter of my senior year, and they brought me to the football house. I don't know if you remember Justin Riscotti. Justin Riscotti, who won the national championship, transferred from Louisville to play quarterback. Yeah. So they stick me with Justin, and shout out to Justin. I play quarterback. Justin brings me to the football house, and, bro, when I told them that I didn't drink, like, they burst out laughing. They were roasting me. They started, like, looking at my clothes. They're like, this kid's a nerd. Where is he from? They're like, you're not going to be able to play here. And the next thing I know, they're like, you're not going to, they're like, we got girls coming over from the field hockey team, from this and that. They're like, you're not going to be the only sober one in the party. And they literally made me power hour with them. And after that, the rest is history.
Oh, man, those were the days.
Somewhere in Ashby Crossing, I know you know.
Quick note about the Knicks, and then we're going to the Yankees next. Dude, I got so excited when OG went up and monstered.
Bro, that was sick. He just saw it. He saw Embiid. Embiid is on one knee, barbecue chicken. He didn't take the shot. Yee.
No chance. I almost had that thought, like, at the end of Rounders when he goes to pay that man his money.
Yeah, OG's not going anywhere.
No way. No way. You do not let him leave. And then with the Yankees, man. That was like that game, you know, listening to it or watching it was like, you know, going to like one of your relatives' recitals and then finding out that like they go on last and you're just sitting there like, oh no. You know, you get excited at the end just because they get on. But you know what? It was a great win overall just because, you know, at the end they dug it out. And dude, this Verdugo, man, he's so excited. I love the fact that he's so like positive. He's so wanting to get everything done.
Yeah,
he's almost like the type of guy that would go to war with a squirt gun and just run out.
No, he's like that. He's like that. Thanks for the call, Ryan. I'll say this, and I'm not getting ahead of myself. A lot of times, you guys want to talk about Juan Soto and how much he's going to cost, and you guys want to fast forward to December. I'm already looking at Verdugo. Like I said, he's a fan favorite. The stadium starts barking when this guy comes up. This guy got his third kid being born, and Yankee fans are fighting over, like, oh, he's on paternity leave. We need him. This is his only year with the Yankees, most likely. There's a good chance that with the year he's having, he's going to sign elsewhere because the Yankees aren't going to offer him what some other team is going to offer him. That kind of sucks when you think about it. I'd like the Yankees to keep him. Maybe he likes it enough that he wants to stay. I'll go dig up the article that I was talking about from The Athletic with Chris Kirschner talking about how Verdugo asked Stroman for extra durag so he could wear it with him. But really, I just want to pull it up so you guys can hear, you know, what Verdugo's saying about the organization and the teammates and the clubhouse and being a Yankee coming from Boston. 877-337-6666. Keith McPherson on the Fan.
When this happened, you talked about it on the Fan.
And Hunter Wendell said it's just thrown out Aaron Boone.
Oh, boy. Who said it? You're gone. Boone didn't say anything. Boone's just been thrown out of the game.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Drizzy dropped. I just said on Twitter, y'all lucky I'm at work. Drizzy dropped. Six God is watching. I got my eyes on you. Like, yo, even the fact that, like Paulie just dropped this beat, like, this is an all-time Drake classic. Kendrick can't make nothing like this. And don't get me wrong, for the Kendrick fans that might be listening to The Fan, Keith McPherson on The Fan, I'm a sports fan and an absolute hip-hop fan. I love Kendrick, too. From his mixtape era when he came out, from Section 80 to Overly Dedicated, I don't know how many times I used to play. I used to want to be like Michael Jordan. Figured I could hit the NBA and make me a fortune. Bro, right now, where we are in hip-hop needed this. The rap game needed this. Drake does not have to do anything for attention, money, publicity, whatever. This is strictly for sport. These are two guys at the top of their craft battling. Now, Kendrick, and I said this on Twitter, if you follow me on Twitter, Kendrick needs this boost, right? Like, Pusha T got the stimulus package off of attacking Drake. Kendrick needs this boost because his last one bricked, his last album, was like, if you heard me talk about his last album, Mr. Morale, the big step, like, it was a dud, bro. I didn't know what exactly he was going for. There was maybe 10 or 11 good tracks on it. I literally made a playlist, and it's in my phone called Kendrick Album Revised, because I love Kendrick. I love his first three albums. I love his mixtapes. But wherever he was going on that last one, I'm like, bro, is falling off, and he's not dropping as much music. Now he went at Aubrey Graham. And if you've been following me on Twitter, if you've been following me on Instagram, like, I've been telling y'all the whole time. Like, first off, this track that Drake just dropped, the beat was at the end of the push-ups track. So basically, he was telling, they're ready. They're war ready. If you guys are not into hip-hop, you don't understand what I'm talking about. But I just said, I'm like, yo, I'm at work, so I could only hear 2 minutes of this 7-minute track. And what I'll tell you is, today Kendrick dropped 616 in L.A., and there was a bunch of different layers to, like, oh, the title and the production and him responding to Drake. It is all a game to Drake. Drake is too powerful, too calculated. And now, after the experience of battling with Meek Mill, Pusha T, he's going right for the heart. He's going right. He's rapping about this man's family. He's rapping about this man's wife and kids. And Paulie just asked me, he's like, this won't get to the point where it crosses over into, like, violence in real life. No, it won't. And honestly, it shouldn't. It is sport. That's what I mean by these are two of the best rap artists we've ever heard sparring right now for our entertainment. They have way too much security, money, and things going on. They're both fathers, whatever. It's not going to cross over into, like, unfortunately, how we end up losing Biggie and Pac with the East Coast, West Coast beef when I was a child. It's also a different time. I just said to Paulie, I'm like, with the technology and the phones and the tracking, whatever, you can't do, there will be none of that. But this has been highly entertaining for hip-hop fans, for rap fans that have followed these two guys. There's so many layers to this beef, and it had been building to this for a long time now.
Honestly, even for music fans, because honestly, music, it's really just focused, you know, on right now, on like Taylor Swift, who's obviously incredible, and you have like Billy Joel and his stuff. you rarely get a time in music where, like, this is kind of like, what's the word, like, really just, like, came up for me, if you don't know the backstory, like, really out of nowhere, right?
Yeah,
like,
I know, if you know a whole backstory.
Yeah, if you don't know the backstory, if you're not into hip-hop, like, I'm
it's
not...
It's intriguing because there are so many people doing think pieces and breakdowns and connecting the dots to, like, how we got here, and people are eating that up. But for the rap fans that literally have been following Drake from so far gone to now, and seeing the evolution of the boy, I'm biased. I like them both, but I even said this today, I'm a bigger Drake fan. If you like Drake and Kendrick Lamar, you can't be a bigger Kendrick Lamar fan. He hasn't given you enough bodies of work. Drake has endless hits.
Endless hits, and he also started.
I just went to his tour. I went to his show at the Devil's Arena at the Prudential. It was ridiculous.
He started on the Canadian version of Saved by the Bell.
Right.
This is where Drake started.
This is Wheelchair Jimmy.
Wheelchair Jimmy, because I used to watch Degrassi from time to time. He started on that. He started like that, and look what this guy turned into.
Bro, the first time I heard him rap, and my boy Jay from Baltimore, I played football with him at the university. I'll never forget. We're walking on campus, and he's like, you know that's Wheelchair Jimmy from Degrassi. I stopped dead in my tracks. I went back to my dorm and just started Googling and looking. I'm like, because Lil Wayne put Drake on. So I think the first time I heard him was on maybe Ransom or something else. And I'm like, who is this rapping? I did not envision him being Wheelchair Jimmy from Degrassi. I didn't watch Degrassi, but my sister watched it religiously, so it was on in my house. And to me, Drake is just, I just think Drake is untouchable. I think Drake, when it's all said and done, will literally be the GOAT. And Kendrick needs this stimulus package to bump his stuff up. Like, Kendrick just broke streaming records. That was, Euphoria was like the most streamed record in one day, blah, blah, blah. Good for Kendrick, because his last album was a dud, and he was flying way low under the radar. This is awesome, and I think it's going to be a great summer for music, for sports, and everything. All right, we'll get back into the Yankees conversation and even look at the Knicks-Pacers series, and we can talk some Mets and even some Jets and Giants as rookie minicamp has started. We got a break, though. We got to go to the update, and I'll say good morning on the other side. We got another 2 hours, and I got a break right now because I want to hear the rest of this Drake diss track. Keith McPherson on the Fan, BRB.